Captain Chesley Sullenberger's had a wild ride through 2009. Not just when he landed U.S. Airways jet 1549 plop solid perfect onto the icy surface of the Hudson River last January 15, saving all 155 passengers on board, but the fame that's followed. He was an honored guest at President Obama's inauguration. Mayor Bloomberg gave him the key to the city of New York. The captain and his crew received a standing ovation at the Super Bowl, and he'll be the Grand Marshal at the 2010 Rose Bowl Parade. The captain's very nickname, Sully, has become a one-word phrase for coolness in a crisis. He's written a book, too, Highest Duty. Captain Chesley Sullenberger joins us from Berkeley, California. Captain, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
In this book and all your appearances, you've been scrupulous about thanking your crew, Jeff Skiles, Doreen Walsh, Sheila Dale, and Donna Dent.
And that's important. This obviously required much teamwork, and not only on the part of my crew, but the admirable behavior of the passengers during the evacuation and the rescue. And, of course, can't say enough about New York Waterway, whose ferries were there in less than 4 minutes, and they took almost all the passengers off. And, of course, other first responders, New York Police, Fire, the Coast Guard, many people contributed to this. As I say in the book, it was as if all of New York and New Jersey were opening their arms to us.
Do you have any idea what happens when you say this is your captain speaking on flights now?
Yes, I do, and I try to learn from each flight. And when I flew and was reunited with Jeffrey Skiles back in October, we flew from Charlotte to New York and from New York to Charlotte. And on the first flight, I did announce this is Captain Sullenberger. And on the second flight, I learned from the first flight and waited about 4 or 5 seconds after I said my name so that everybody in the cabin could hear the next words I was going to say.
I bet they turn to each other and say, boy, we feel safe now.
You know, that was a wonderful reunion, not only with Jeffrey Skiles, and not only did we have a chance to finish the flight that we didn't finish in January, but many of the passengers from the January 15th flight came to join us, some sitting in their original seats. Mm-hmm. And to make it even better, Patrick Harton, the air traffic controller whose voice we've all heard on those tapes being played on the news, came to work early that day back in October to work our departure from New York.
I find it fascinating that after the accident, you're being interrogated, you're sent to the hotel, big national hero, and you had no clothes.
Well, I had the clothes I was wearing.
Yeah.
I had my uniform, and I was wet nearly up to the waist and tired and spent and happy at the outcome, but completely used up. And so my union brothers and sisters went shopping for me, and they found some place where they could buy Jeffrey Skiles and me some clothes. And what they were able to get was two identical sets of black sweatsuits, top and bottom, black socks, and black underwear. But they were dry. And so I placed my uniform shoes upside down on the heater vent and hoping that overnight they would become drier, changed into some dry clothes, and my needs were simple. They were being met.
You know, they would have opened Bloomingdale's for you.
Yeah, especially if I'd known I was going to get the key to the city.
Yeah, that ought to be good for some underwear.
One of the biggest surprises for us on the crew early on was that we assumed that this story would just run its course, the news cycle would be complete, and after a few days or weeks, people would be on to the next thing, and that simply hasn't happened.
By the way, talking to Captain Chesley Sullenberger, he's got a new book, Highest Duty. In this book, you talk with great love and candor about your marriage to your wife, Lori. The candor part is you say, without getting specific, that the life of an airline pilot can test a marriage.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's true for a lot of professions where there are separations, where there's a lot of travel involved. And that's only become more so since the economic tsunami has hit all airline employees 8 years ago, certainly beginning with the 2001 terror attacks, airline bankruptcies, pension terminations, loss of pay, changes in work rules. We're all working harder and longer than we used to. So I've missed half or two-thirds of my children's lives. And the challenges of this year have been on top of those. And we've had, you know, wonderful opportunities, but this started with a traumatic event that had a remarkably good outcome, but it was nevertheless traumatic. And I think all these life-changing events that happen so suddenly put great stress on one's relationship. I think sometimes it pushes people away, and sometimes it can make them cling to each other and make them stronger. Sometimes a bit of both, depending upon the day.
Do you ever have to sit down with your kids and explain, this is what Daddy does? That's why I can't always be here?
Oh, of course. But what they needed to see me do is to really be focused and present and listening and involved and engaged with them when I am here. And they also need to see me choose to be with them as much as I can.
Do you feel a special relationship with the city of New York now?
Oh, of course. People tell me they remember where they were when they first heard about it. And the fact that it happened in New York, I think it made it an event that touched a lot of people. And I think it also happened at a time in the world's history when people needed good news. They were searching for reasons to feel hopeful again, and they wanted to be reassured that people could be competent and that good could be done.
There's a lyrical section in the book where you, before all this happened, you talked about, what is it, you got up one morning in Pittsburgh and called your wife and said, let's take the kids to New York?
Yes, I did. That was in 2002. I had three successive evenings in New York, three long layovers in New York and Manhattan, and staying in there, the theater district. And so it was December. It was festive, decorated for the holidays. My kids were young. And so Lori got them all on a plane, met me in Pittsburgh. I flew them to New York. We saw the statue. We saw the Rockettes in Radio City Music Hall. They saw Santa at Macy's. It began to snow one day while they were there. So I would go fly each day and then return to them in the evening, and we'd go out. And it was a time they still talk about.
Captain Sullenberger, what do airline crews complain about when they talk about passengers? What can we learn to do better?
I think that if our passengers would just remember that the flight attendants really are there primarily for their safety, and that they review safety procedures all the time to take care of the passengers no matter what may occur, and that the pilots are there to exercise great care on every flight and to make each flight as comfortable as possible, I think if they start out with that appreciation and that awareness, it's a great help. And then just pay attention and take responsibility for your own safety.
Sully, his new book, Highest Duty. Captain Sullenberger, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
And you can read about how Chesley Sullenberger learned to fly when he was just 16 years old at our website, npr.org.